Our study tonight is out of Jeremiah chapter 49, verses 7 through 22, and then also Obadiah verses 10 through 14. Obadiah is just one chapter, but verses 10 to 14. God's judgment on Edom for sins against its brother Judah. Christ taught that the righteousness of the entire Mosaic law was fulfilled in two practices: loving God with one's entire being, and loving one's neighbor as himself. Jesus taught that in Matthew 22, verses 34 to 40. Thus, sins of hatred against one's brother is especially opposed by God. And that's what the nation of Edom committed against its brother nation, its relative nation of Judah. Remember, Judah is a descendant of Jacob, and Jacob was the twin brother of Esau. And Esau is the man who produced the Edomites. So Jeremiah 49, 7 to 22 addresses God's judgment of Edom's sin. And Obadiah verses 10 through 14 clarifies that sin is acts of hatred against its brother Judah. So we study these passages for our insight and for our edification. I'd like to read, first of all, Jeremiah 49, 7 to 22, and then we'll study it. Concerning Edom, Jeremiah 49, verse 7, thus saith the Lord of hosts, is wisdom no more in Teman? Is counsel perished from the prudent? Is their wisdom vanished? Flee ye, turn back, dwell deep, O inhabitants of Dedan, for I will bring the calamity of Esau upon him, the time that I will visit him. If grape gatherers come to thee, would they not leave some gleaning grapes? If thieves by night, they will destroy till they have enough. But I have made Esau bare. I have uncovered his secret places, and he shall not be able to hide himself. His seed is spoiled, and his brethren and his neighbors, and he is not. Leave thy fatherless children. I will preserve them alive, and let thy widows trust in me. For thus saith the Lord, behold, they whose judgment was not to drink of the cup have assuredly drunken, and art thou he that shall altogether go unpunished? Thou shalt not go unpunished, but it shall surely drink of it. For I have sworn by myself, saith the Lord, that Bozrah shall become a desolation, a reproach, a waste, a curse, and all the cities or the villages thereof shall be perpetual wastes. I have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent unto the Gentiles, saying, gather ye together, and come against her, and rise up to the battle. For lo, I will make thee small among the Gentiles, and despised among men. Thy terribleness hath deceived thee, and the pride of thine heart. O thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, that holdest the height of the hill, though thou shouldest make thy nest as high as the eagle, I will bring thee down from thence, saith the Lord. Also Edom shall be a desolation. Every one that goeth by it shall be astonished, and shall hiss at all the plagues thereof. As in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the neighboring cities thereof shall, saith the Lord, no man shall abide in thee, neither shall son of man dwell in it. Behold, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of the Jordan against the habitation of the strong. But I will suddenly make him run away from her. And who is a chosen man that I may appoint over her? Who is like me, and who will appoint me the time? And who is that shepherd that will stand before me? Therefore hear the counsel of the Lord, that he that taketh against Edom, and his purposes that he hath purposed against the inhabitants of Teman. Surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. Surely he shall make their habitations desolate with them. The earth is moved at the noise of their fall. The cry of the noise thereof was heard at the Red Sea. Behold, he shall come up and fly as the eagle and spread his wings over Bozrah. And at that day shall the heart of the mighty men of Edom be as the heart of a woman in her birth pangs. And then I skip over to Obadiah, verses 10 through 14. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. He's speaking to the Edomites. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast one of them. But thou shouldest not have looked on that city in the day of thy brother, in the day that he became a stranger. Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in that day of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. And verse 13, Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. Okay, there's a whole bunch of wrongs here that were done against Judah, and we'll discuss it here in the lesson. In Jeremiah chapter 49, 7 to 22, presents God's intense prophecy of destruction against the nation of Edom. You'll notice as we go through this prophecy that the destruction is rather intense. So it demonstrates that God was very highly motivated to punish Edom, and we have to find out why. Well, the Lord predicted that Edom, known at the time throughout her region for its many wise men, would end up having all of its wise men vanish in destruction. God warned that the Dedanites from the Arabian Peninsula southeast of Edom, who were living in Edom, that they needed to flee from the disaster that he was about to bring on Edom. In other words, he's saying, Dedanites, you better get home. Go back down to southern Arabia. Though grape gatherers and thieves usually left something behind in their efforts, Edom would be completely destroyed, with only its orphans and widows being spared by the Lord. What's interesting is that throughout Scripture, God is always seen as the defender, as the protector of widows and orphans. And even when it comes to the Edomites, these were noted enemies of Israel, since orphans and widows were vulnerable to harm, God came to the deliverance and the rescue even of the Edomite widows and the Edomite orphans. There's a tremendous side lesson in that, how careful we need to be supportive of people who are vulnerable. Three classes of people who are vulnerable, they're widows, orphans, and aliens. These would be foreigners. They're all vulnerable sociologically, and God is very, very protective of them. Number four, the Lord reasoned that if those nations unrelated to Judah who boasted of her fall had to drink of the cup of God's wrath and judgment, certainly Edom, who was related to Judah, was deserving of partaking of the full brunt of God's wrath and judgment. The other nations had a problem with Judah and had mistreated Judah, but the Edomites, this is like family mistreating family. That's uncalled for. So God would thus make the city of Bozra in northern Edom a ruin and an object of horror, a taunt, a waste and a curse, with all of their outlying villages becoming perpetual wastes. The Edomites lived, you've probably seen photographs of Petra. Petra is down in the south of Israel, across the Arabah, the low land that's in the valley that runs from the Dead Sea down to the Red Sea. It's just to the east of that in a mountainous range. And the Edomites in Petra lived, they actually carved buildings right out of the red rocks on the side of the mountain. And they lived in the very strongholds. And they thought that no one could defeat them there, that they would be impregnable. But later on, in fulfillment of this prophecy, the Nabataeans who lived in Saudi Arabia came and they invaded and destroyed them. And to this day, this prophecy is fulfilled. There's nothing there, it's just wild animals. Nobody lives there. And you have these mammoth houses and buildings like apartment complexes that are carved right out of the rock and go up a cliff, and nobody's living there. There's no water source or anything. There are maybe snakes and scorpions, lizards, that type of thing, but that's it. Okay, so number five, God would thus make the city of Bozra in northern Edom a ruin and an object of horror, a taunt, a waste, and a curse, with all of her outlying villages becoming perpetual wastes. In fact, Edom, a lot of it today is just desert territory, where it used to be fairly well inhabited. The Lord is figuratively pictured by Jeremiah sending an envoy to his allies among the Gentile nations, asking them to assemble for an attack on Edom so that Edom would become small among the nations and despised opposite her great arrogance. Indeed, Edom would become a desolation like Sodom and Gomorrah so that no one might dwell there anymore. The Sodom and Gomorrah, we know the cities were down in the lowland, close to the Dead Sea, if not under the Dead Sea. We're not quite sure. It's in that area. But you've got a lot of salt wasteland down in that area today. And in fact, no one knows where the actual cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were. They're destroyed. And so Edom would be like that. like a fierce attacking lion coming against a flock of helpless sheep, the Lord would be unstoppably destructive so that no shepherd in Edom could protect her people from him. You know, when I read passages like this, we know throughout the Old Testament when God talks about judgment, God puts on the picture of being sometimes like a fierce lion or a fierce animal or a leopard, and or like an eagle, as he does later in the same passage. And often we assume that God in the New Testament is different, that he's a God just of grace. We have to remember that, I forget where it is in the book of Hebrews, it says, "For our God is a consuming fire." And that's quoting a passage out of the Old Testament, even the New Testament God. God to this day will discipline, and he will discipline very severely. So we have to be very careful to obey the Lord. Number 8, the sound of the fall of Edom would make the earth figuratively tremble. The cry of Edom being heard as far off as the Red Sea to Edom's southwest. Now, we normally think of the Red Sea as only that area that Israel crossed. You actually have the Red Sea that goes up one end, and then the other sea is called the Gulf of Aqaba that comes up. But in the ancient days, they called that all the Red Sea, actually the Sea of Reeds or the Sea of Rushes, because the seaweed was very plentiful in the Indian Ocean, and the Indian Ocean, part of it swings up into both the Red Sea and also into the Gulf of Aqaba. They're all extensions of that. So the whole thing was called the Red Sea by the author of Scripture, authored the Scripture throughout the Old Testament. It's the same extensive body of water. So the Red Sea is quite a ways away from Edom at this point. Edom is north of it and to the east of it. So there would be, you could probably hear, you know, from a distance away, 30, 40 miles away, you can actually hear the sound of the cry of the city of people. You could actually hear the wailing. When we were in Nigeria, when it came to harvest time, you could actually hear the people going through their witchcraft dances in the village. You could hear it miles away. You could hear the hum and the howl of the people. And so it was going to be that way in the days when Edom would fall. The sound of the fall of Edom would make the earth figuratively tremble, the cry of Edom being heard as far off as the Red Sea. God, like an eagle, would swoop down in judgment over Bozrah. The hearts of the warriors upon which Edom depended for protection would be as fearful as the heart of a woman in labor, unable to stop God's destruction. Well, the reason for such judgment on Edom was her sins of hatred against her brother Judah. Dr. Ryrie, in his footnote, says that the reasons are actually given in the book of Obadiah. A lot of the language, a lot of the vocabulary that is used in this section of Scripture that we read in Jeremiah 49:7-22 is repeated in the book of Obadiah. And some scholars think that Obadiah actually made the first prediction and that Jeremiah followed that prediction but utilized much of the same vocabulary. But anyway, the prophet Obadiah also pronounced judgment on Edom, and he provided the reasons for this judgment in Obadiah verses 10 through 14 that we read. Those reasons were sins of hatred committed against Judah. The Edomites had committed sins of violence against their brother Judah. Now, what's interesting is some of these acts of violence were not actual deeds, but they were attitudes. An attitude can be just as violent. Specifically, the Edomites had stood aloof, indifferent when foreigners attacked and slew and captured Judah's people. Opposite what relatives are to do in such calamities. You remember when Lot was captured, what did Abraham do? He got his men together and they went after that to rescue Lot, because that's what you did. When your relative was in trouble, you came to his rescue. You didn't stand aloof and just let him suffer. But that's what they did. They let their relative nation suffer. They even gloated over Judah's misfortune, rejoiced over her destruction, and boasted in her trouble, opposite how relatives are to act. You're never supposed to do that as a relative. As a relative, you're supposed to empathize and sympathize with your relatives who are suffering and come to their aid. The Edomites had even committed acts of atrocity against their relative of Judah, entering into Jerusalem's gates, looking down in arrogance against God's people in their calamity, looting their wealth, and handing over survivors of Judah to the Gentile attackers. Apparently what they would do, they would stand at the crossroads, and if people were trying to flee, and either way they would capture them, and then turn them over to the Babylonians. And some of the Babylonians would kill them. The Babylonians would torture them. Some they would take captive. So these events possibly occurred. No, I'm sorry, I'm mistaken. It wasn't the Babylonians, the Philistines and the Arabians. This is before the fall of Babylon. These events possibly occurred when the Philistines and Arabians attacked Jerusalem in the days of Judah's king Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat. The Bible Knowledge Commentary clarifies this in 2 Kings 8:20-22 and 2 Chronicles 21:16-17. It is true that other nations were involved in helping Babylon later when Babylon caused the fall, but this particular prophecy, they believe, occurred because the Philistines and the Arabians were attacking and the Edomites were joining in the battle. So for sins against relative Judah, sins of violence and standing aloof, gloating, rejoicing, and boasting when foreigners attacked Judah, and committing acts of atrocity and entering Jerusalem to look down in pride at Judah's calamities, to loot and to hand over her people to their attackers, Edom would be severely judged by the Lord. So may we treat our relatives, especially our brothers in Christ, aright, to avoid severe judgment. You know, as I was going through this lesson, I was thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ returned to his homeland, his people were offended at him because he had been doing all these miracles. And Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, amongst his own relatives, his own family. And he did later indicate that the cities where he ministered there in northern Galilee would actually be judged more severely than Sodom and Gomorrah. I wonder what Nazareth is going to be. Nazareth, his hometown's people. Remember at one point they took Jesus out and they were thinking about casting him off the cliff of the town. The town is built on the edge of a cliff looking over the valley of Megiddo. And they wanted to push him away. And of course, Jesus miraculously went through their midst and got away from him. But think of what these people had known Jesus since he was an infant. What they're going to do, they're going to answer someday, because some of these people would have been relatives of what they did to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, it's something we have to be very careful about. But, you know, we also have brothers in Christ. You have to be careful how we treat one another as Christians, because that's something that the Lord will judge with great severity as well. So we need to be very, very careful. We shouldn't mistreat anybody. You know, we have to broaden the lesson. We shouldn't mistreat anybody, but especially people to whom we are related, either in the spiritual realm or to our relatives in the human realm.